Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the LifePoint Christian Church podcast. Let's get started.
Have you ever looked around at the way people are doing relationships today and paid attention and thought to yourself, man, there's got to be a better way? Like you look at it and you think, what everybody's doing clearly isn't working. So many people are lonely. So many people are broken. So many relationships are in a terrible place, which is weird because today we have more opportunity to meet people than ever before. We have dating apps and social media apps and meetups. I mean, you name it. But we have fewer healthier marriages than ever before. Could it be that maybe we're using the wrong, you know, the guide, the wrong GPS, the wrong map to get us where we want to go? Is it possible? I want you to just hear some stats about how bad it is. For example, according to the 2022 U.S. Census Bureau report, half of adults in America are now unmarried. Also, according to a 2023 Axios study, marriage rate has dropped nearly 60% in the past 50 years. According to Pew Research, 63% of men who are under the age of 30 are single, which means only 30% of the men under 30 are, like, you know, in the game. And the rest, they're in the, you know, they're at home in sweatpants playing video games. According to the National Library of Medicine, 68% of millennials expect, I'm going to live with my partner before marriage. Kind of with that whole attitude of, hey, let's just, rather than before I buy it, I got to test drive this thing. It's terrible thinking, terrible logic. We all crave intimacy and connection and connection with people and love. But the results are clearly speaking for themselves. Marriage is, over half of marriages, they end in divorce. And sadly, even in the church, many marriages that are surviving are existing. They're just, the reality is they're barely surviving, hanging by a thread. All of it, relationship-wise, is tragic and it's breaking the heart of God. And the part I think that can get hard for us to admit is that we've kind of normalized unhealthy relationships and unhealthy patterns. Those broken patterns are now like, oh yeah, well, this is just normal. But just because a broken pattern and a broken way of doing marriage or relationships, just because it's common to everybody, doesn't mean that's what God has for us. Doesn't mean that's God's best way for us. So that's why we're turning to the book of Ruth, because it's showing us this radically different way that we can, you know, connect with someone, meet someone, build trust, that we could create a relationship that actually honors a person and honors the Lord. And so today, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're dating, there's something today that God has for you, and the message will speak directly to your life today, but also to your future. Not only that, I imagine there's some of you here today who are, you're wondering, God, is it still possible for you to do something special in my life? God, is it still possible with knowing my life and what I've been through, can you still bring beauty from the ashes, so to speak? The story of Ruth is proof that God can still do that. Because her story, it's not just about love and romance, though that's part of it. It's a story about redemption and faithfulness and the way that God can take a past that's maybe upside down, a past that's uncertain, and turn it into something that you can't imagine today, something you never saw coming. So to really see what God can do, and the difference that God can make in our lives, we're going to step back into the story of Ruth. Last week was our first week. I encourage you to go check it out if you didn't watch or listen to it. And we discovered there's this family, a family of four. They're from Bethlehem. And they moved 50 miles away to another place called Moab. Why'd they go there? Because Elimelech, who was the father or the husband, he was worried about feeding his family because there was this famine. And so he thought, I'll go to Moab. That's going to solve the problem. But Moab wasn't just another place. It wasn't just another country. They were a people that were born out of incest, and they worshiped a false god, including this god who demanded child sacrifice. And God's command was clear to his people. Don't have a treaty with them. Don't have a friendship with them. Don't marry or intermarry with the people of Moab. But Elimelech, he decided to take his family there anyway. It didn't work. It didn't work out at all. In Moab, Elimelech and his two sons, does anybody remember what their names were from last week? Sick and Tired, that was literally their names. Literally. Elimelech, Sick and Tired, the three of them died, leaving Naomi and her two Moabite daughter-in-laws, yes, Sick and Tired, went against what God said and married Moabites, left these three widows together by themselves, and Naomi says, well, I should have never been here. I'm going back to Bethlehem. One of her daughters-in-law, Ruth, decides to join her, and she makes this famous declaration in Ruth 1, verse 16. She says to Naomi, Naomi, where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. So Ruth here, she's turning her back on the God of Moab. And she's turning to her heart. She's turning her life towards the God of Bethlehem. This was her moment. Her moment of repentance that led to her salvation. This was a step of faith that was ultimately bring her brand new life. So Naomi and Ruth, they decide to turn to Bethlehem. And here's some good news for you and I. If you will turn from your Moab, whatever your Moab is, which is really a place where God doesn't want you, whatever that looks like. It's an action, it's a behavior, it's a physical location. Whatever it is, it's a thought, it's an action. Whatever it is in your life, whatever your Moab is, if you will turn from that, you can find the blessings of God, in this case in Bethlehem, in your Bethlehem. If, like Ruth and Naomi, you'll turn or return or repent. So Ruth chapter 1, we see it. There's just a whole lot of pain there. We saw that last week. Chapter 2, it's like a new dawn, a new day. It's a new season. Chapter 1, we're going to go from this place where there's just nothing but heartbreak. But now God wants to cause a breakthrough to happen in their lives. So let's check it out. Ruth chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. Now Naomi had a relative. Some translations say he had a kinsman. That word kinsman we're going to bring up and talk about quite a bit in this series. Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side, remember Elimelech, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. So we see Boaz is a relative of Naomi's dead husband Elimelech. And it tells us there what? It tells us that he's a man of what? He's a man of standing. Now, what does that mean? Well, different translations say it different ways. Some translations say he's a mighty man, he's a worthy man, he's a strong man, he's a powerful man. Or my favorite one is he's a mighty man of valor. Man, that's what I want to be said about me. What about you? That people would say he's a mighty man of valor. In other words, he has character, he has integrity. But also another translation says he's a man of great wealth, or literally he's a man of property, which is to say he's a responsible person. And he's built something. He's a man of standing, and catch this, a man of standing, that's so much better than a man of sitting, right? I mean, think about that. You don't want someone who's passive, who's coasting through life, who's waiting for somebody else to step up and step in and make decisions. Man, you want someone who's out there. Like they're standing, they have a work ethic, and they have a drive, and they have a vision for their future. Someone who has a job, someone who can pay his bills. Ladies, you want a Boaz. This series built around a Pastor Craig Rochelle series on Ruth, he talks about this old preacher who says this. He says, you want a Boaz, you don't want a lazy as. You don't want no broke as, and you don't want no dumb as. You want a Boaz. I said A-Z, A-Z, you heard that, right? A-Z. And I'll just say this, you don't want somebody who couldn't laugh at that. And if that's you and there's two of you here and you want to hook up and you can have a miserable, boring life together. Listen, guys, You actually want to be a Boaz. You want to be a Boaz. You want to be a man who's known for integrity and responsibility and someone who's faithful. You want to be a man, the kind of man that God actually trusts, a type of person who others will look up to. And so verse 1 is telling us, hey, there's this guy named Boaz. He's related to Elimelech. And now, so we get that verse, but now the scene shifts. And now it's kind of like, hold that thought. Let's shift the scene. Verse 2. Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, her mother-in-law, she said, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Naomi said to her, go, daughter, do it. Great idea. Get to work. Verse 3. So she went out. She entered a field and began to glean behind the harvesters. Now, you need to know, this type of work is not glamorous work. And Leviticus 19 tells us this is actually what we're seeing here is a little bit of a way God kind of set up like the Israelites' welfare system, so to speak. God had commanded his people in Leviticus 19 that when they would go out and when they would harvest their fields, they were not to go back over the edges where the grain had fallen. They were not to pick up any grain that they had dropped in the process. They were just to leave the edges, leave the grain that had fallen, leave it for the poor, leave it for the widow, and for the orphan and the foreigner. That was God's plan, to take care of people. So this was hard work. And Ruth would have spent a long day, hot, it was hot, back-breaking work, picking up the leftovers. And I gotta tell you, what she's doing here is incredibly humbling. Think about it this way. It'd be like if Ruth went to Naomi and said, hey, you know what, I'm gonna go out today. And I'm going to go and I'm going to dig through people's trash and try to find bottles and cans. So then I'll take them to a recycle place and try to make a little bit of money. This wasn't Instagram-worthy work going on here. This was hard work. And what makes this so powerful is Ruth isn't choosing to say, hey, I'm a victim here. She isn't saying, sitting around, moping around, playing the victim card, oh, I lost my husband, I'm in a foreign land, I have nothing, I'm just going to stay home and feel sorry for myself. No, 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 no. She took the initiative. She stepped up. She didn't wait. She got herself moving. And I suspect there's some of us, we kind of have this attitude as, you know what? I'm going to wait for God to move. But if you were just look over and over and over in Scripture, you see over and over that there's a lot of time, you know what God's saying to us? I'm waiting for you to move. I'm waiting for you to step out in faith. You want a new job? Well, go apply for one. My daughter Callie stayed this summer with my mom and dad, and so she was down in Southern California. She applied for literally dozens and dozens and dozens of jobs. And I'm like, I don't understand. It's like there's plenty of jobs. How are you not getting a job? How's that not possible? Well, she kept applying and applying and applying. She went out to do the hard work. You want God to heal your marriage? Go first. You forgive. Go first. Say, we need help. Let's do something. You want friends? Don't sit around waiting for people to come up to you. You go first. Go introduce yourself. You want to grow spiritually? It's not magic. Open God's word. Just get into it. Read it. Follow a Bible reading plan. You want to grow? This is a season where we get involved in our life groups. Oh, I've done it before. Oh, okay. Well, you've done it before, so I guess you're good for the rest of your life. No, no, no. Go get connected with other believers. Ruth shows us that faith isn't just believing God can do it. That's not just what it is. It's going into the field and then picking up that first scrap of grain. And then we trust God to take care of us and handle the rest. So Ruth chapter 2, verse 3, she began to glean behind the harvesters. There's that phrase I've already brought up. As it turned out, I know it's a long phrase, but we're going to say it together. 1, 2, 3. As it turned out. I want to say that again. 1, 2, 3. As it turned out. She was working in the field belonging to Boaz, who is from the clan of Elimelech. From Ruth's perspective, what's going on here? She just happened to wander into this field. She didn't have directions. She didn't have a GPS. There's no top 10 fields for widows in Bethlehem. She didn't have any of that. She just got to work. But, what's the phrase, but? As it turned out, she ended up in the exact place God wanted her to be. Ruth thinks, I'm just doing some regular, ordinary work. But as it turned out, God's going to set her up for something extraordinary. She thought she's just going to pick up some scraps. But as it turned out, God's positioning her to give her an incredible blessing of provision. She thought she was just trying to, you know, survive another day. But as it turned out, God was using her to write a story that you and I would talk about 3,000 years later. Church, you don't always see it in the moment. You don't always know in that moment when you're in your field. But God, he's the master of the as it turned out. And as it turned out, that phrase, that biblical phrase, some people would say, you know what that is? That's the provision of God. There's a fancier way to say it. What's the provision of God? The provision of God is just like a way of saying, man, God's going to use something just ordinary, natural circumstances to bring about something amazing, special, extraordinary. You just thought you took that job because, man, I needed to pay the bills. But as it turned out, you met a coworker, and they were the ones who pointed you to Jesus, and now you have faith in Christ. Callie, my daughter, dozens and dozens and dozens of no, 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 no. How hard is it to get a summer job? Well, as it turned out, she ends up getting hired by In-N-Out Burger, one of the slowest ones in the country, so nice for a new person getting a job, for a summer job. As it turned out, she gets this job, tells them about going to college. The manager says, oh, we have a store right by where your school is. How about I put in a word for you and get you a transfer? As it turned out, they had some availability. As it turned out, Callie has a job waiting for her in Oregon at, ready for this? It's actually the busiest In-N-Out in the entire country. Because she just went out there and she just took the initiative. She had no clue the as it turned out was coming. You think you're just moving into a new neighborhood because I got to get the right school district for my kids. But as it turned out, God placed you next to somebody that you needed to shine the light of Jesus into their life, and you needed to be the one who would give the testimony of Christ and the power of Christ. And as it turned out, God was using you to reach that person for Christ. I don't know what you're talking about. I just needed a new school district. As it turned out. Listen. You thought you were just here today because it's Sunday, the 17th, just another church day. But as it turned out, for some of you today, this is your day that God's going to do something radical, something powerful. There's going to be a word, a nugget. The Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. And as it turned out, today's the day that alters your life forever. Does somebody believe that? We don't always see God in the moment, but God is the master of as it turned out. He's the master of it. I've kind of discovered, as I read scripture, God doesn't work very often through burning bushes. He doesn't work very often at parting seas and feeding 5,000 people and sending angels. Most of the time, he's working in the ordinary steps of our faithfulness. But as it turned out, we get to then realize God was doing something supernatural. God was doing something special. And as it turned out, he was working the whole time so that something important, special, eternal would happen in us and through us. That's why Zechariah says you can't despise the small things in your life. You can't dismiss what's just ordinary. You can't dismiss what's just, hey, it's just another day. Whoa. With God, every day is a potential as it turned out moment. I got to tell you, I had a lot on my mind today, a lot on my mind, and too much on my mind for a Sunday morning when I try to be lasered in and focused. I believe the devil was trying to distract me, to be honest. Had a little fear about this and that and whatnot, and so just some things going on. And I, as I got ready to leave the house, grabbed my shirt, walked to the car, and I said, God, I need the as it turned out moment. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm looking for it. What if you started doing the same? That you started looking for those moments, that you had that faithful expectation that God can move and do abundantly beyond all we can ask, think, or imagine. And you just simply said, God, I'm ready. I need the as it turned out moment. And as you pray for that, what do? Take initiative and just go do what you're called to do. And then let God work out the rest. Romans 8 says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. God works in the good and the bad of your life. It doesn't matter what's coming at you. He's working. In this case with Ruth and the heartache of chapter 1, he's working. But God's also working in this blessing that's coming in chapter 2. He's working in all of it to bring about his good will in our life. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? So last week I said if this was a movie, what kind of movie would this be? Anybody remember? Rom-com, right? A chick flick. And in any rom-com chick flick, there is always going to be the plot twist. Ruth, she's at her lowest moment. No husband, in a foreign land, and she's working hard, and she's gleaning, and she's being responsible, and she's in a field picking up the leftovers, the scraps. And as it turned out, here's the plot twist. As it turned out, here walks in the handsome hero, the business owner, the mighty man of valor, Boaz. Let's see it. Ruth 2, verse 4. Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you. What do we discover about this guy right here? Well, we see, like, first of all, he's a leader. He's kind to his people. And the first thing he talks about when he interacts with people, first thing he's talking about is the Lord. He's talking about the Lord. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you. And for those in this room who aren't married yet, or those who counsel those who aren't married yet, or those who have kids who will one day want to be married and you're going to need this nugget for them, if you're serious about your faith in Christ, if you're serious about your walk with the Lord, then it means you're going to want to marry someone who's serious about their faith in the Lord and their walk with the Lord. And so if you meet someone and you start to have conversations, and if you don't hear them talking about Jesus and talking about church and talking about faith early on in your conversations, is that the type of person you actually want to be with? Some of you are like, well, and there's a couple of you say, no way. And I would agree with you. Of course you don't want to be with that type of person, because people tend to talk about what matters most to them, what they value the most. And if you aren't hearing them talking about faith early on in conversations, if that's not happening, hey, maybe they are a Christian, but they're not going to be where you are and where you want them to be. They're not going to be passionate, the kind of passion in their faith that you want them to have and they need to have. Boaz, he comes out and says, man, the Lord bless you. God bless you all. I mean, faith in God, it's just losing out of his life. Boaz recognizes something that we talk about here at LifePoint. And that's this. Every one of us has an SOI. You've heard that phrase. I hope it's starting to register with some of us. You've been here a while. We all have a sphere of influence. Every single one of us. And what does God want you to do with that sphere of influence? God wants you to preach the gospel through the way you live to anybody who's in your sphere of influence. God has called you to let the light and the love of God shine through your life. And eventually, God's going to give you the opportunity to verbally share your testimony and share the good news of Jesus. And I'm just wondering, do you let the light of God and the faith and your faith, do you let that shine through to your SOI, to your sphere of influence? Are you the light of Christ? Here we have an amazing, but he's, in many respects, you could just say he's kind of a normal dude, normal business owner. He's letting the light and love of God shine through his life. He's serving God, and then he happens to notice Ruth. And if this was a modern day relationship type situation, what would he do as soon as he notices her? He's going to look up her online dating profile, right? And when he goes to do that, what would he discover? He'd discover it's not ideal. First of all, it would say of Ruth that first thing it would say is Moabite, which is like automatic turnoff to people of Israel. She's from the wrong people, and she's from the wrong, and they worship the wrong God. Second, she would notice it would say widow, and that's not good, which means she's not a virgin, which is a really big deal in that culture and that society. Third, it would say homeless or unhoused. Fourth, it would say destitute, meaning she's broke. She has nothing to contribute to this relationship. And finally, it would say grumpy old mother-in-law included in the package. How's that for a profile? Ruth had a rough past, pretty complicated. But Ruth, we've already seen, she's not letting that define her current reality or even her future. And I think there's some of us who need to really hear that today. Because some of us are here today and you've been listening to your past too much. And you're letting your past influence your present and your future. And God wants to say to you, don't let that happen. That's the past. Well, I can never really serve in church like I want to because I did and this happened to me. No, no, no. First of all, that's the devil speaking to you. He wants you ineffective and useless. Well, I can never be a good dad because, man, I didn't have a good father, you know, when I grew up, and so I'm just going to, like, flop at this, and I'm going to be bad at this. Well, I can never lead a small group because I don't know the Bible well enough. I haven't learned enough yet. I can never have a strong marriage because every time I try to step up and step in, I've just screwed up too many times in the past. I can never be financially free because have you seen my bank account, my retirement? I can tell you what it is, zero. Have you seen all the credit card bills? Have you seen how much I've messed it up? Yeah, okay, that's where you've been. Don't let that define your future. You can make a change. Don't let your past talk you out of what God's wanting to do today and moving forward. Like Ruth, take the initiative. Step up. Because when you do that and you take that initiative, what's right around the corner? As it turned out. I'll tell you what I want. I want as it turned out. I was praying for it this morning. Verse 6, the overseer or the foreman replied, she's a Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She came into the field. Some translations say she's been hard at work and has remained here from morning till now. So Boaz, this man of standing, this mighty man of valor, he sees a woman who stands out to him. And I'll tell you what Boaz saw is something that we want to be thinking about. It's what we want to look for and what we want to become. Ruth, we see, she's faithful to God. She's turned away from her false god, and she's turned away from that, and she's chosen to serve the one true God of Israel. She walked away from the idols in her life. She's faithful to God. Also, she's loyal to her new family. The other daughter-in-law, Orpah. Orpah. She stayed back in Moab. Ruth said, no. I'm going to serve the true God. Passes behind me. I'm moving forward. And I'm going to follow the true God. And I'm going to be loyal to my new family. And so she links arms with Naomi and heads to Bethlehem where God's people are. Obviously, we've already said she's a hard worker, incredibly hard worker. She's not sitting around waiting around. She's taking the initiative. She's working hard. And she's honoring God morally. How do we know that? Well, it wasn't uncommon for widows in that day to take care of themselves as they would enter into prostitution. That was pretty normal back then. And she said, no, I refuse to do that. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to stay morally pure. I'll just seek provision somewhere else. Some of you, listen, God's telling you, and not just sexually, but in your life, God's calling you to purity and integrity. And that means, okay, you might have to seek provision in a different area of your life and get away from what you've been involved in. Be faithful to the Lord. Be faithful and loyal to God's people. Work hard. Honor God by living this life of purity and integrity. That's the type of person you want to be, and it's the type of person you want to look for. Verse 8, so Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter-in-law, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. I want you to stay here. And then he said in verse 9, I've told the men not to lay a single hand on you. I'm going to protect you. I'm not going to let them do anything inappropriate to you. And then he said, verse 9, and whenever you're thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. That's a big deal that the men have filled. Back in that time, foreigners would draw the water for men. Women would draw the water for men. Boaz flips the script. He's just elevating Ruth and her preciousness and her dignity. He's caring for her. And what does he do next? Verse 12 says, he prays for her. He says, may the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge. So we have Ruth. She stands out. And now we have Boaz, and he stands out. What do we just see there? Man, he's prizing Ruth. He's valuing her. He's cherishing her. And you want that type of person in your life who will prize you and value and cherish you. Boaz protects Ruth physically, but also morally. He's not letting those guys get involved and do anything. Third, he's providing for Ruth. He's letting her glean, and he's providing water. He's taking care of her. And then fourth, he's praying for her. He's bringing her needs before the Lord and wants her to be blessed. And you want someone who prays for you and prays with you. So, men, whether you're single or married, you just want to be that type of guy. You want to be a Boaz. You want to be someone who prizes and honors women. You want, if you're married, you want to honor and prize and cherish your wife. You want to protect them. You want to be a blessing to them. You want to be generous to them. You want to pray for them. And I just ask you, is that you? Are you a Boaz? Are you a Boaz? Listen, this isn't just a romance story. It is, and we're going to get into all that. It's pretty incredible. But it's a discipleship story. Ruth and Boaz show us what it looks like to follow God when maybe others aren't, when other cultures aren't, when people do the opposite of God's will in God's way. Because here's what I know. You're following something right now. You're doing something. You're building something in your life, whatever it is, whether that's a dating life, whether that's your marriage, whether it's your singleness, whether it's your reputation, your integrity, whatever it may be, whether it's your purity. The question that you want to wrestle with is, are you building your life on God's blueprint or culture's blueprint? These two stepped out of culture because culture says, just follow my heart. Sleep together first. Marry if it feels right. If it doesn't work out, I'll just marry again somebody else. God says, no. Guard your heart. Honor God's design for marriage. Keep pure before marriage. And once you're in marriage, be faithful. Forgive quickly. Love sacrificially. Man, fight for the marriage, not in the marriage. Fight for the relationship, not in the relationship. So, if you're single, my question is simply this. Are you becoming the kind of person that you're praying to meet? Don't just pray for the one, be the one. If you're married, are you still pursuing each other like you first did? Or have you gotten lazy in your love? Boaz didn't just notice Ruth here. We're going to see next week over and over and over. He kept honoring her over and over. And so you're married, continually look for ways and opportunities to honor your spouse. To all of us, I just ask you this. Are you trusting God with your as it turned out moments? Right now, you don't see the ending yet. You don't know what it is. But are you trusting God and saying, I'm going to be faithful in this field that I find myself in? Story of Ruth and Boaz, it's a pretty cool story. It's a romance story, but it's more than that. And it's more than that for you too. God still writes amazing stories. Yes, romance stories. But like the story, he also writes redemption stories, restoration stories, freedom stories. And that's what God has for you. So maybe for you right now, you're ready to say, I'm done. I'm done with my way. I'm done following culture's way. I'm not going there anymore. I'm going to trust God's plan for my relationship or my relationships. I'm going to trust God with my purity, with my integrity. I'm going to start becoming the kind of person that God can bless and God can use to bless others. And I can tell you this, when you make that decision, yes, God, your will and your way, God has a whole bunch of as it turned out moments just waiting for you to experience life to the fullest, abundant life, real life, better life than you can ever imagine, Jesus said. It's the only way that leads to life. What will you choose? Let's pray.
You can learn more about us by visiting us online at lifepoint.org. If you are ever in the Sacramento area, we would love to see you in person. Events and service times can be found on our website. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us for our next episode.